Hey there, and welcome to the Good Kind Podcast. At Good Kind, we are all about helping people cultivate the good kind of habits and holiday practices that allow them to engage with God and one another throughout the year. To learn more about us and the products we make, go to www.goodkind.shop and follow us on social media. We hope you enjoy today's episode of the Good Kind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Good Kind Podcast. My name is Clayton Green, and I'm excited today to be here with Chris Pappalardo and Amy Cavanaugh. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Good morning, Clayton.
How's everybody doing? Chris, you seem like you're ready to be here. You're excited about the topic today.
I am excited to be here. We're finally getting to some of the biggies, the ones that everybody wants to hear about. I don't know how we're going to keep it brief, but we will.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Well, maybe we'll just cut something.
We'll try.
out of it.
Always good to have stuff.
Amy, also, you came in really fun there. This whole New Year's resolution of being fun in 2024, you're crushing it so far.
Thank you. I'm really trying to be fun.
It's good discipline.
Well, hopefully some of that fun will continue to come out today. We're doing an Easier Than You Think podcast today. We are going to talk about the Bible as the spiritual practice that we're all trying to cultivate, and we're going to try to make it easier than you think. This whole series is about making spiritual practice easier than you think, because sometimes we complicate things, guys, make it a little too hard when we don't have to, or maybe somebody else made it hard for us and they shouldn't have. But it's like, we're the lower the bar spiritual practice podcast out here. Chris, why are we lowering the bar so much?
We're lowering the bar because we know what it's like to have the bar set really high and to fail a ton and to realize that we are not the only ones in that boat. So I think primarily we do this because this is the sort of thing that we need to actually get going in our spiritual practices.
Yeah, it's definitely what I need. And why are we lowering the bar, Amy? We just like the bar low. It's just like because it's more fun.
It's more fun. That's it. No, because I think that helps us to move forward. We need some small wins. We need that accountability, but we need the just the excitement of saying, I did that. That motivates us to say, I can do that again.
Yeah. I think we're also lowering the bar because of God's graciousness, right?
Yeah.
So I have a great amount of confidence in the fact that if you are engaging with God every time, God's going to do something in your life, right?
Yep.
So engaging with God is the goal, because when you get over there to the person who has the power, like, that's when something's going to happen. And if you trip on a bar that's too high, you can go again. So let's lower the bar. Let's get you over there and get you engaged with God. So that's what we're trying to do. We want everybody listening to be engaging with God, engaging with each other, because when you engage with other people that are in the family of God, that also is a way of engaging with God. But we're not talking about community today. We'll do that another time. We're going to talk about the Bible, right? So here's my first interactions with the Bible. I went back and thought through it a little bit. Maybe you guys have something to share as well. I remember a picture Bible that I had, and I actually don't remember much about the words in the Bible because it was a picture Bible.
Yeah.
Get it?
I got you.
Sense.
So, but I have those images like branded in my brain, like they're just like stuck there, and I love that. Then I also remember a blue Bible that I got that had my name on the front, because people do that, right? Where you stamp it, and then it also had my name on the inside. I got it when I was baptized, when I was pretty young, and I got that Bible with that. That Bible has a very special place in my heart. Don't really remember reading it very much, but I remember getting it. I'm sure I did. That was the second thing I had, and then I remember Bible drill, which is a very different experience with the Bible. Hardback Bible
sounds not fun.
I'm opening it. I'm finding it, but I mean, I began to
find
my way around the Bible. With Bible drill. Was I good at it?
Yeah,
I was pretty decent at it. Yeah. I practiced.
I imagine you would want to win.
That's something about me that I do like to do. So, but I think that was me finding my way around the books of the Bible on my own. And now my relationship with the Bible is even different. But those are kind of some big moments that I remember of introduction to the Bible. And not everyone gets introduced that early, but what about you guys? What are your memories of kind of getting started with the Bible?
Well, first off, it's super interesting. I forget the statistic, but what is like the average number of Bibles that people own in the U.S. is crazy high. Like that there's just so many Bibles that are probably sitting around your house or that have been involved in your life. And that's just kind of wild to think about. But it's funny to hear you say that. So I was at my parents' house recently and came across my first Bible.
Oh, really?
It was similar. I was like, I forgot about it completely. So I don't have the pictures burned in my brain. But the minute I saw that Bible and my kid came carrying it to me, all of the memories started flooding back. I was like, oh, wow, I remember this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember carrying this to church and I had the ruffle socks that I was probably really mad about. And so slightly different experience, but it is pretty cool how those Bible memories can come back pretty quick.
Yeah,
I think Clayton had the ruffled socks.
Yeah, I'm sure you were really beautiful.
Chris, what about you?
I don't remember, like, as a kid, I'm sure I grew up going to church, so I'm sure we had some sort of thing, but I don't remember picture Bible or kid Bibles or anything like that. But when I was in junior high, I got one, I think it was called the Adventure Bible, the NIV Adventure Bible. And so it was like for students and it had like this waterfall or like,
I think they still make that.
I'm sure they do. Waterfall or some sort of thing on the front. And this was the first Bible I like actually read and took seriously and had. What I loved about it is it had a bunch of little sidebars explaining this is what this book is about. And it had a reading plan at the front of each one. So, okay, if you want to read, I don't know, Philippians, you can do it in 4 days. Here's the check boxes. If you just have one day, read this chapter. So it actually did some of that that work for you to make reading the Bible a little easier.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the check boxes were like right up my alley. I still have it. It's paperback, but it fell to pieces because I read it a ton. Yeah. So I don't use it, but I've got it. It's kind of sentimental in a drawer somewhere. Do you still have the one with your name on it, that blue one?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's at my now house. I brought it with me.
It had been at your parents' house.
Yeah, it had been at my parents'
house. Guys, this is so niche, but I remember I had these Bible magazines because like magazines were real cool back in the day. And I feel still instantly... 10 years older than I did 10 minutes ago, but like all those like 17 magazines and stuff they made for girls with all those like horrible quizzes and whatnot.
Sure. Yep.
I had Bibles that did that.
What was, so I don't,
that's not a bad idea though.
No, I mean,
we'll talk about it a little bit later, but like providing the Bible in an accessible way to different people at different times, I think is really, really interesting. Now, all three of us were young, right? Mm-hmm. I gave a Bible to a close friend of mine. He had never had a Bible in his life. Gave it to him. First two responses. One was about the physical Bible. And he said, I've never seen a book with pages so thin. Right? So there's just such a unique. It's like the only book that uses those pages. If you get any other book, it's like, we could make this book smaller by getting the tiny little paper thin pages. But let's not do that because then it'll feel like a Bible. That was his first note. And then I was like, hey, you should start here. And I was pointing to one of the Gospels, like, this would be a good place to start. And he's like, you just gave me a book and told me to start in the middle? Like, this is weird. I don't know if he started, honestly. But anyway, there people have these different experiences and get introduced at different times of their life. And so it coming in different way. I wish I would have earlier in my life had, what's the book, the novel book that we read, Chris?
The Book of God.
The Book of God. I wish I would have had that as a teenager. I'll probably do that as an introduction for... my girls, right? Mm-hmm. And then also super, I just recently got the Bible recap book.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like they take the podcasts, all the podcasts and they put it in an actual book now. And so it's like, here's Genesis 1-3 and what happens. And they do summaries and you're supposed to read the Bible as you go along with it.
Cool.
Super, super helpful for what can be a pretty complex book, right? So I think making it a little bit more accessible, I think is a really good thing. So Chris, kind of break it down for us. Both of y'all have studied the Bible way more than me. You got degrees and such going along with it. But what is happening when we're reading the Bible? Like, what is this spiritual practice about? What are we trying to do? Because, I mean, there's tons and tons of ideas and thoughts and resources on it. So kind of simplify it for us a little bit.
It's hard to simplify the Bible, like you pointed out. It's kind of tricky. So there's two questions there. What are we doing when we read the Bible?
Yeah.
I'll answer it in two ways. What most people are doing when they read the Bible is opening a book and feeling lost because they have no idea what they're doing.
Yes, very much so.
And they're pretty sure they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's what most people experience when they read the Bible. That's like, this is how I feel as a Christian. I ought to read this book. I ought to love this book. I hear so many people talk about how it's my daily bread and I can't make through a day without it. And then I actually open it up and read it and I'm like, this part is confusing. I don't understand this. I don't actually like this.
Am I supposed to do something right now?
Yeah.
Do I have to change?
I didn't feel anything. Did I do it right? So that's what most people feel when they read the Bible.
Yep.
Related to that is I do think there's a kernel of truth there, which is what makes it tricky, is because what we're doing when we read the Bible is we're hearing from God. And that's a big deal. And that's a significant thing. And so that true thing is, I think, what leads to a lot of trouble, because people are like, well, if I'm listening from God, that's a big, you know, Moses had this burning bush where God spoke to him and it changed history. Should I have that experience when I read this book? I don't.
That's what I feel like I need to do.
I think that's what is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tricky because, you know, people, like you said, Clayton, people approach the Bible in so many different ways, where some people have heard stories ever since they were young kids. Right. And some people understand, oh, these stories aren't just individual stories, but they're all pieces of one puzzle. They all go together and tell the same story. But when you're starting out reading the Bible, whatever age you are, you don't have any way to know that intuitively. I think it's really easy to just kind of go a chapter at a time, a story at a time, and not really understand, you know, the bigger picture. And so I feel like I am constantly having to remind myself to go back to the very basics of the Bible. And I feel like that's helpful for anybody. It's really easy to, the longer that you've been reading the Bible, assume that, you know what to expect. And, you know, you're never too studied or well-versed in the Bible to go back to the basics.
Well, right. So, and it's living and active. And so the repeated engagement with it, I think, is something that ends up being neat. I kind of want to go on the record here as saying, for me personally, this is like the new experience of my life. You know, you got pictures, you got the Blue Bible, you got the Bible drill. And then I would say at this point, like, it really is, it is beginning to approach more and more. Like, it is a method of, like, it is, helps me know about God. It helps me know God. But interestingly, if knowing God is what my experience of the Bible is now, I actually look to the teaching of the Bible that I've experienced in my life as the primary method in which I have achieved that end, not my personal reading of the Bible. And it's hard for me to actually kind of confess that. I feel guilty. Yeah. Should I feel guilty about that? That I feel like the teaching of the Bible, most often on Sundays or podcasts, but in the course of my life, primarily on Sundays, like that has been more of an influence of me understanding God through his scripture than my personal reading.
And I don't think you should feel guilty about that. If for no other reason than that is historically the most common way that believers have understood and learned the Bible.
Okay. Yep.
Remember, we come to this with these practices over and over again, that most Christians throughout history have not been literate. Mm-hmm. And a lot have not had a copy of the Bible in this case.
Right.
So if they're going to learn the Bible, and many of them do, it is through the teaching of the word. So
by somebody who was literate, by somebody.
Yeah. Somebody that was trained. And the abuses in that situation are pretty evident, right? If one person gets it wrong, either by mistake or malice, they've misled a lot of different people. But it's not like we want to go back to that. But the public teaching of the word is a way of understanding the Bible, and has been the primary way throughout most of history. It is still, I would say, probably the primary way that most people throughout the world do it today. And Clayton, you're even saying this is the primary way that people who can read have Bible intake today. So I think that's okay.
Because I think it helps break down some of like the confusions, right? So like earlier when I was saying, for everybody who's
that's
listening,
interesting.
So Chris and Amy, you both have been to seminary. You have a degree, like you've studied in a different way. I have not been to seminary, right? So,
but you're the guy who's preached.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? So I'm doing that part without having, you know, gone through what you guys have gone through. But like, I think that does a little bit of the breaking down of the difficulties. And then, I don't want to, in saying that, I don't want to minimize the power of what individual reading of the Bible can do, right? You talked about some of the difficulties of, there can be some errors in only letting the teaching be how you are interacting with scripture. It's not something to be embarrassed about or feel guilty about because of the history of it. Because then there also are times in my life where it's like reading through that book of the Bible very slowly really impacted my understanding of a particular part of my life, or reading that verse or memorizing that one verse that continues to come back over and over and over, that has impacted me in a different way. I just feel like the lion's share of like the foundation of my understanding of scripture has come from the teaching. But these doing it yourself actually does matter too, right?
Yeah, I think what's really cool about studying the Bible is also what makes it really tricky, because God can do so many different things right. at any one point in time and in 100 different ways that we don't always see. Mm-hmm. And so what he does through your personal study, you know, today might not feel like anything, but it might be totally different next week or next year or next, you know, decade. And you don't know, but even the days that seem mundane and like you don't really know what you got out of that passage, you know, that might come back through the public teaching of the word, you know, in a year. And it's so interesting how all of these things weave together, that it's not, you know, just about one moment.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
So that's very helpful. Back to what we're saying, like the theme of all these podcasts, Easier Than You Think, is that when I look back on my life and I remember pictures and I remember these different steps and everything, but then I also remember all the, I don't remember a ton of the actual teaching, but I acknowledge has provided this mm-hmm. insane foundation of understanding of who God is, that's why the encouragement of regular engagement, whether it be through yeah. teaching, through podcasts, through individual reading, whatever style of that reading you are doing, the continual engagement, regardless of how small, is what over time God uses in order to help us know him, right?
So I think that's one of the most like basic applications of faith, is trust that God is working through mm-hmm. my study of him. His word will not return void, and he's going to see my faith through to completion.
Yeah.
Like, and I can trust that. That's so foundational, but it's really easy to forget that studying the Bible is applied faith. That is lived faith.
Yeah. Well, so interesting here, the word study, which I think is a good word. And I think that's probably the most, reading the Bible or studying the Bible are going to be the mm-hmm. two of the most commonly used phrases, I think, just off the top of my head. I was reading this past week a book called Biblical Critical Theory that I've talked about a lot in the podcast, and I'm still reading it. It's a very large book. They probably should have used Bible. Yeah. They probably should have used like the Bible pages in it so that it would have been a smaller book.
But, a single ply?
Yeah. So he
single ply book?
A single ply. Oh my gosh. Wow. Is that what the term is technically?
100% no.
Absolutely not. But you know exactly what I'm talking about.
It should be. It'd be easier to understand.
I won't think of it any other way now.
Yeah. It's
You're
over.
Welcome.
That is now what that is called.
It's a big book. Is it 2-ply?
All right. So in this book that I was reading, that the title is not necessarily indicative of what is happening on the inside of it. He talks about covenant as a foundation of how you read everything in the world. You know, there's a lot of different lenses you can look at the world through. He talks about covenant relationship as a foundation of how you look through the world. And he makes this case that all knowledge is relational.
I love it.
Okay, right? So all knowledge is relational. You can't know something. Excited. Okay, you can't know something about even the nature without nature revealing itself to mm-hmm. you. And so there's a relational, bear with me, there's a relational component with you and,
ahead of you.
Right? You and something that is not, trees are alive, but like
you,
it's revealing,
you.
Right?
Yep.
And so there's this idea, we think sometimes that we can take something and put it at a distance from ourselves and try to understand it, absence of our relationship to it. He says, no, you can't do that. Even if you're putting it at a distance, that is relational. It's like how far away it is. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the word study makes me think that's over there. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to understand it. It's not. It's actually, this is revealing to me. I'm revealing myself to it. This is how it's going back and forth. That's what should be happening in the Bible, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Rather than studying it to understand, it's to know, right, Chris?
I think you need to. This book is clearly very fruitful for you, so keep reading it.
Okay.
But when you're done with it in, I don't know, 2026, the next book you should read is something by Leslie Newbegin.
Yeah.
Because the insights you're getting from this book always make me think of him. I wrote my dissertation on him. He was a fantastic dude, missionary in the 20th century. I could go on and on about him because clearly I did for like many years. But he borrowed from this philosopher Michael Polanyi about this idea of personal knowledge, like you're saying. Anyway, I could go way down that rabbit hole, but it's 100% true that you can't know anything without some sort of personal investment.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like how we usually think about understanding, right? And his Newbegin's point was always, when I want to understand something like a book, for instance, I feel like I am the master and it is the subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the wrong way to approach God. But right. he went right. back even farther and said, that's not the way you know anything.
Yeah.
It's not the way you know another person. And especially if the book is revealing a person, the way you get to know a person, you are not the master over them. It has to be through disclosures. There's a dance, right? That whole back and forth. And that is, like, we've circled around it, but I do think that is what's happening when you approach scripture. You're getting to know God. It's a matter of knowing, but not, I'm going to study and dissect and take this thing apart. But it's, well, how do you know another yep. person?
And so then you put reading the Bible into the context of what it's like to go to dinner with a friend.
That's a much closer thing.
Or to talk to them on the phone, or send them a text message, or...
Or spend time with them without, like, intentionally trying to learn facts, right?
Yeah.
Shared time and shared space.
Yeah, so then it, I think that makes it easier. I fear that the relational piece could kind of like change, oh gosh, man, this is a relationship. Wait, but actually I think if you think of how you have built relationships over time, it actually lowers the bar. It makes it easier mm-hmm. than you think, because it's engaging with someone that you want to know. And it can be complex and confusing sometimes, but isn't also friendship and getting to know someone like in real life.
Right.
I think that's a concept that's very helpful.
It's like a first date. Like first dates mm-hmm. are yeah. really awkward and really, you know, not enjoyable sometimes when you're just on the facts. Like, yeah. oh, what's your favorite thing to do on Saturday mornings?
Where are you from?
What do you like yeah. to eat? Yeah. Tell me about your mother. Like if that doesn't.
Hi, Karen.
If you're more focused on facts than relationship, you know, that's a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Karen's my mother, not Amy's mother.
Yeah, sorry.
I can tell my mom you said hi too, though. I yeah. know it's different, but.
All right. So it's knowing God. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing? This is Newbegin again. He said.
You are Chris. You're quoting Newbegin.
Yeah. I'm yeah. not. Yeah. No. Newbegin's with Jesus now. I'm going back to something that he said.
Yeah.
He said reading the Bible is like knowing a person. And then he used the illustration of his wife. He's like, when I walk into a crowded room, I can immediately recognize my wife. I cannot
oh, wow.
transfer that information to somebody else to have them have the same reflexive moment of recognition. I can give all the details. I could describe how tall she is, what she looks like, maybe even what she's wearing, all that. But because I know her, as soon as I okay. see her, I recognize her.
All right.
And that is what's supposed to happen when we come to scripture. Not I've got the most facts, but when you open the book, you've spent time knowing this person that you open it up and you recognize that I know him.
Oh yeah. That's
here
great.
He is.
Yeah.
All right. So but in the book, but then also I had somebody from church over for lunch a couple of weeks ago. And in that conversation, he was talking about an event that he had gone to in our city. And then he said, man, when I go there, I'm like, ah, the kingdom is here.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, oh. when you just said that, it made me think, it's like, so you read, you get to know, and then you walk out into the world and you're like, ah, I recognize the face. I recognize yeah. his face here because I recognize his face in that person. Look at what they're doing. I saw it here, got to know him, and now I see it here. Oh, that's beautiful. Like how, like, it's like the word is actually giving us that foundation over time. And then you begin to recognize him there. And I think you begin to recognize him everywhere else as well.
Because it's the Spirit of God animating both, right? The Spirit
yeah.
of God is what makes the pages of Scripture come alive. That's God's voice. But the Spirit is also in believers and active in the world. So if you recognize one, you should start to hear, see, I don't know, you'll see it in both.
That's beautiful.
All right. So with the Bible, we're getting to know God, right? So, but there are some expectations that we need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
There's some experience mm-hmm. that we have had that we need to learn from. So let's throw some things off. Let's add some things in. How do we make this easier than you think by getting rid of some expectations, but also by learning from some experiences? I'll go first. I mentioned the Bible recap, and that's like a year through the Bible resource. And I'm going to use that in some way, and maybe some way with my girls as Kara is kind of beginning to actually intake a little bit more. But I want to kind of subvert that suggestion by also saying Bible in a year, I have to read the whole Bible in a year, is something that I have personally had like a fraught mm. relationship with yep. over time, where I'm like, well, if I didn't read the whole Bible this year, like,
you
did I do it wrong?
Yep. Yep.
Now, if you read the Bible in a year, like, that's great.
Yep.
If it's mm-hmm. to the end of knowing God, I think my brother's read the Bible every year for like the past 10 years. Like,
wow.
That's great. I mean, that's his discipline. That's like what he has and what he is doing. But I think that's an expectation that doesn't need to be placed on all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Why do y'all think that is the Now, there's like reading plans in the front of a, but reading plans are good, but it feels like that sometimes puts too much pressure on us.
The pace of reading a Bible in a year is not too much of a reach. It feels like I understand putting them together. It's a very long book. Mm-hmm. Reading it in a month is too fast. Everybody knows you can't do that. So you stretch it out and you're like, well, a year is kind of the next marker. Yeah, I could read this in a year, but it is still reading a lot more than most people are used to.
Right.
And maintaining a year long goal is just so hard that it's easy to fall off. I think I've done it maybe twice.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like those were more spiritually rich than times that I was reading the Bible in other ways and at other paces. So I'm with you. I've given myself permission to like not read the entirety of a Bible over a calendar year.
Yeah.
Cause
so that's an expectation I think we need to get rid of. Yep. What about you guys? Expectations we need to get rid of or an experience we need to learn from?
So for me, I have a 3-year-old daughter and an Enneagram 7 husband. And so
a couple kids in the house.
Just very practically need to let go of the expectation that I can sit quietly for 30 minutes and read the Bible with no interruptions.
Right.
That's not what it's going to look like.
Gosh, can anyone do that?
Probably not.
You get up early enough.
You know, and I don't know why I expect this monastic experience when this is my life. Yeah. But, and I don't necessarily think that, you know, a quiet, very somber situation with a candle would be better necessarily. So I'm trying to let go of that expectation that quiet is better and that studying for a long period of time by myself is better. And instead try to figure out, you know, how can we make this so that I do get to spend time with God, but how can I invite my family into it? How can I make it so that I'm not just stopping halfway through? How can I set a different start and finish goal?
Yeah. So, I mean, I hear you saying there, I don't have to do it by myself and it doesn't have to be quiet.
Yep.
But I also hear you saying in that seasonally, those things look different.
That was the piece I was catching on to.
Yeah. I feel like those two things are really, it's like one of those is an expectation to throw away, which is like it has to be by myself. And one of those, an experience to learn from different seasons. It can look different.
Yep.
That's really helpful. Chris, what about you?
I struggle. You know, like you mentioned, I've been to seminary a lot. I went to school for a very long time. and so I actually
said the word dissertation. Did you hear that?
Like, I did. I cannot say that word except good dissertation, Chris.
Nice. You did great. You dissertated fantastically. So I'm a big fan of studying. Like I really like it. So for me to pick up the Bible and read something and not immediately or even after a little while understand it is very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I like to know and understand and get what I'm engaging with. But often when you read the Bible, you get to the end of it and you're like, I'm not 100% sure what this means. I'm not sure how I would teach this if I was supposed to. And that's an uncomfortable thing for me. I think it's a pretty common experience for us. And it's taken me a long time to get to the spot where I have to be okay with that. Like if I've read it and I don't completely understand it, that doesn't mean I did it wrong.
Right.
That's where I was before. I was like, well, I mean, if I did this the right way, I would have some sort of nugget for the day. I would have, some takeaway. I'd be able to summarize it for whoever I talk to. And this is not how it works.
So I've had a similar experience recently. Been reading Proverbs, and there were a couple in a row. I mean, and it's kind of all over the place, right? But there's a couple in the row. There's a couple in a row where I was like, I mean, that said the same thing as the last thing, right? Am I supposed to be getting something different here? So it's not that any individual one, I wasn't like fully getting the understanding, but it wasn't. I think my mind was in like study understanding mode, and so as I was reading the different Proverbs, I was waiting for the next bit of information, right? When you read a textbook, it's like, here's information number one. Yeah. Okay, building on information number one, here's information number two. Building on that, and Proverbs is not like that at all. Oh. Like, it's not, I mean, not even within one proverb, you're like, are these things connected? I don't know what's going on here. So, but yeah, that's very helpful for me because if I throw back to the beginning of our conversation, now if I'm going through that experience again, I wasn't understanding each individual bit, but if I take all of those and put them together, I'm learning something about God. I'm getting to know something about Him in the scope of reading those things, rather than in each individual one being a bit of information, right? So it's more knowing than understanding. Right. You're what you're saying about study and understanding kind of relates to that pretty well.
Yeah. Again, think of what it's like to know a person. You're going to have interactions with people that you love. And sometimes those interactions will really confuse you. And that's a cue for you to like press in. Like you do need to focus on that area more, but it doesn't mean that when you get a point of friction or confusion that like, well, I guess this relationship's no good. It's just right. The same thing with scripture. I'll read a story, even the gospels, which are some of the most accessible. I'll read this interaction or a parable that Jesus tells. And I'm like, what does this even mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's a good moment for me to like share this with other people. Jen Wilkin talks about this all the time, that we need to sit in that discomfort and confusion as we read the Bible. That's a really good thing because it forces us to come back and say, well, that can't mean what I thought it meant. Let me look at it again. Let me ask some other people. Let me think about it more.
Right. You know?
In high school, I remember I was part of a Bible study, and I think we were doing something. It was a systematized thing where we would recap what we read. We would pray. There was like a 3-sentence thing that we were supposed to write down after our Bible reading time. I think it was a BSF thing. And I found a journal a few years afterwards. I think I was in college. And I was looking back and we were reading one of the Gospels. And I think for every recap, like 6 in a row, my 1-sentence summary was something like, Jesus did something. I don't understand it, but I know that he's God. And that is not even 1 sentence, but like over and over, that's just what I wrote. And I was like, you know what? I did not really learn what was happening in those stories, but praise God, because I was learning something that I don't understand much of what he's doing, but he's God and I can trust him. And if that's all I learned as a high schooler, that seems like a pretty good thing to learn. Like I can be satisfied with that looking back on it now.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So here's an experience that I feel like I can learn from, but I'll throw it off. Here comes the experience, and then all of a sudden it becomes an expectation. We're going to get rid of it, right?
Wow.
So there's
like fast fashion.
There's different ways of exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm
exactly
I'm
like
jive.
That.
I know what the kids are saying.
Yeah.
Don't be so shocked.
All right. So there are different ways of reading the Bible. What does it say about God? What does it say about man? How does it apply to my life?
Yep.
Very simple rubric that I've been given before. There are other rubrics that you can have. So the experience to learn from is have a rubric. Like, I think that is helpful when it is difficult to understand, to have a couple of questions that you can ask that you can really pull out of almost every text that you're reading. What does it say about God? What does it say about man? How does this apply to my life? I feel like that's something that you can do. It's a method. Now, here's the expectation to throw off. It's not the only method. We couldn't list all the methods. All the different ways in order to read. So I would say having a method is good because it helps you continue to move through, particularly when it gets confusing.
Yep.
But that method doesn't have to be the only method you ever use, and it doesn't have to be the method that everybody uses. But having a method can be very helpful, especially if you're teaching someone newly kind of to be engaging as well. So that's an experience, I think, to learn from.
I like having a different method. Frequently. That's my experience. So, you know, I'm a right and wrong, black and white thinker. So for a while, I was like, this is the way you read the Bible. If you're not doing it this way, you're doing it wrong. And then I would get tired of whatever that way was and feel like, oh my gosh.
Oh no.
This is a spiritual problem now. Yeah. Like, you know, this is my heart.
That's a really good thought.
And really what I recognized is I have a desire for novelty, which is not wrong. It's just like God gave us seasons. And part of the blessing that he gave to us in the seasons is we appreciate novelty. We appreciate day and night. And so when it comes to knowing people or knowing a book, some novelty and change of pace is really helpful. So for me, I set a reminder for myself every 3 to 6 months to just change whatever my rhythm is.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm reading through just large stretches of scripture without taking many notes. I'll get tired of that in 3 or 4 months, but that's fine because in 3 or 4 months, I'll ditch that and I'll pick up one book and I'll read that with a commentary and I'll go deep.
Yeah.
And in a few months, that's going to get, you know, tired. So I'll ditch that and do more Lectio Divina where I just read a couple verses and I sit in silence. So all of those are great, but I find that I like each of them more when I start them and they, you know, they get gradually less interesting and I give myself permission to jump to a different type.
That's good. Yeah. So have a model and maybe even vary the model intentionally. Amy, what about you? What's an experience that we can learn from?
So, Chris, I think you actually had to give me permission because I could not give myself permission when Ella was born. Yeah, I know. But you told me, Amy, just read the Book of God for a little bit. We mentioned it once already.
Yep.
Capital letters there. It's an actual book.
It is an actual book. Walter Wangerin Jr., yep. I do believe.
Yep.
And because I was really kind of burnt out a little bit from studying the Bible. I had just finished seminary. I had a baby. And I was just really having a hard time enjoying reading the Bible, sticking with it, and feeling like just overwhelmed by what is God doing through this situation right now. And you told me, read this for a little bit. And it was so helpful to have you, you know, call me out of that, give me permission to change something up, and then to read the Bible as a novel for a little bit. Really, it did shift my mentality towards it, that this is not just something that I need to study for a test.
Yeah.
But that this is, you know, something I can enjoy doing and I have enjoyed doing in the past. And
Yeah, and taking in the whole story in story format is a different experience altogether. It's kind of what similar. I was going to say one of the experiences to learn from is that Jesus Storybook Bible is the Bible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Chris, I've said that to you before and you were kind of like, God, is it? So how do we like, how do you relate to, I mean, there's word for word translation. There's phrase translation. There's message translation, which is like concept. It's like story form. And then there's like all the way to like novel, and Amy's now introduced magazine form. So like, how do we
feeling
relate
wild today?
How do we relate to the different version? Like, when does it count as reading the Bible and when does it not count? You want to make that decision for us all? Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Authoritatively. I'm happy to be the voice of God, I guess.
Oh,
no, too far. There's a whole spectrum. Generally, the translation conversations will to look at literal translations and then have them on a spectrum from like, I don't know, the NKJV, which is like very often called wooden because it translates the Greek and Hebrew very literally in ways that even in English sound weird, all the way over to usually like the Message, the New Living Translation, which is more abstract. But I think it goes even farther than that. Like, you can keep going on one end of the spectrum and say, well, I mean, if you really wanted to understand this, you have to get back to the original languages.
Yeah, you gotta go. Yep.
You do understand more when you're looking at it in Hebrew and Greek, and a tiny bit of Aramaic.
Yeah.
But then on the other end, like, you've already mentioned this, Clayton, you are hearing from the Word of God when somebody teaches it to you. And when somebody teaches you from a passage of Scripture, they're introducing elements that are not literally just repeating the text. And that also is a profitable way to understand the Bible. So I would say reading the Book of God, Jesus Storybook Bible, the stuff that I've written for Good
The King
Kind,
Is Coming.
Those are our attempt with that is to be incredibly faithful to the text. But I think all of us who've written that stuff would say, well, this isn't the Bible necessarily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But is this a teaching of the Bible that's profitable? We think so. So if that's the only engagement you have with the Bible, I would say, you know, all of us, we get into the like telling these stories and teaching the Bible because we think the book itself is incredible. So we would always say like, oh man, if you love that, you should see the original.
Right.
Yep.
But I think those are wonderful ways to engage. Maybe just not all the time.
Yeah. Or use the resources for what they are and appreciate them for what they are. I mean, because we don't have enough time and I don't have enough education to dive completely into it. But like the story form nature of this, kind of the literacy piece you're talking about in the very beginning. Yeah. The storytelling of it was the way the story was told to most people. Mm-hmm. So it's like it would seem a little bit of an over exaggeration to say this is the way that you have to study if that's only a way that has been available to most people and not even everyone right now as a way to study that way now. So it can't be the only way to do that, but the different resources, translations, things like that, use them for what they are. But I think you can tell if you're listening, we're pretty open to engage with the story, make it easier than you think, get into the story, know who God is. That's the goal that we're going after. Just make sure you're aware of what resource you're using.
And here's another helpful question to ask, or like, you know, a diagnostic tool. What is your attitude towards the Bible after you've engaged with this kind of paraphrase resource? Because when I read the Book of God, like with you, Amy, I was in a dry season and I was like, I need something. This is hard. Let me read something that carries me along. I read that. I finished it. And I was like, this is an incredible story. I need to go back. Because it fired my passion to read the Bible. And if that's where you are after reading our stuff, children's Bibles, paraphrases, magazines, sermons.
Yeah, watch a Bible Project video and then go read the text. You're like, oh, wow, that, okay, now I see it. You know, that's helpful. Yes. Yeah, that's a good diagnostic.
Even to read something and go, wait, is that really in there? Like when you're reading a paraphrase or like the Bible as a novel, I find myself over and over going, there's no way that's actually in there.
Right.
And you read it and it's almost word for word. Mm-hmm. And having those moments sometimes is so helpful because it's almost like reigniting a little bit of childlike faith too, yeah. to say, no way, Jesus did not really talk to a fig tree. Did he actually do yeah. that? And then the answer is, yes, he actually did. Yeah. And like, what a crazy thing. Yeah. And how cool is that? And just having small moments like that to even just get excited about the Bible again is really transformative sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So, Will, I mean, gosh, lots of experiences learned from there. Lots of resources that we just threw out and different options. Mm-hmm. Also some expectations to get rid of. But I think as we talk about easier, we've talked a little bit about seasons. That's a theme that I feel like we've talked about. We've talked about resources. We've talked about consistency and how it's creating a foundation. We've talked about knowing God. But, you know, our promise in the Easier to Think podcast is that we're gonna make it easier than you think. So, Chris, here's the tough thing, and I'm going to let you think about it for a second. But how does a family make this easier than you think in terms of making it maybe even 5 minutes or less? How do grownups do that as well? But before I ask you to do that, I do want to say we are going to have our Holy Week reflections this year. Mm-hmm. So another way to engage with Scripture. So we're actually going to be recording podcasts that are going to go through Holy Week leading up to Easter, for Palm Sunday, all the way to Easter Sunday. And it'll be written and recorded in a way. Chris, you're doing it actually with Lottie. And we're doing that in a way that people can and listen to that with their kids, with your whole family, as a way to introduce a different way of engaging with Scripture. We'll actually be using the Bible, and we'll actually be talking about it as well. So you kind of get the teaching and you get the Bible in there and some time to meditate on it and talk about it. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you can get those as they're coming out in Holy Week. But Chris, give us the short, easiest way. How can families engage with Scripture? What's your recommendation?
Yeah, this is one where I feel like a lot of work has already been done, and we don't need to be too clever or creative with it, because the number and caliber of story Bibles or like kids Bibles out there is incredible. So yeah. Just start. We've already mentioned a few times the Jesus Storybook Bible. I think it's fantastic. And like the drawings are so cool. Kids like it. The writing's great. And it's relatively easy to read one of those stories a night with your kid as they get a little older. There's others. We use for Teddy still the Big Picture Story Bible, which is a slightly younger age group.
Yep.
But again, like the artwork is engaging for kids. Like the theming is really strong, but it's just taking the Bible and ratcheting down the reading level and making it picture-based. So those are fantastic. For older kids who like chapter books, Kaleidoscope is fantastic.
Yep.
And so they take books of the Bible and they get rid of the you know, the single ply. And they're like, well, what if the book of Matthew was like printed as a book?
Yeah.
So they print the whole thing as a book. It's a chapter book. It's written at an elementary grade level. So kids who love reading will pick it up and read it like they would other books. So I would say, you know, any of those work great. You could also, there's a lot of ways that you know, engage the Bible with kids through song.
Yeah.
A lot of maybe already happening at your church. So like just sing those songs with your kids. You're ingraining the fun things of just one or two verses that they'll have stuck in their head that they won't realize are Bible verses until way later. But that counts. And yeah. it's pretty easy and the kids love it. So those are all, I think, so easy more, options.
More than half of the verses that I've memorized in my life, I sing. I don't just know, yeah. right? And I still, to this day, the fruit of the Spirit, I have to sing in order to know all of them. Nah, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace.
That's not the one
patience,
I know.
Kindness, goodness. Fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Is it a watermelon?
See, that's what I did. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you go faster and faster. Yeah. And
you got one, Amy?
Nope.
Hard pass. All right. So pick the right resource for your family. Sing the Bible with your family. And for that resource, I would say put the resource in the right place if you're looking for consistency. So I don't know if it's at the bed or if it's at the table or where you would put it. Try it in a couple of different places, but pick the right resource because that's actually going to help families kind of really get into it. So what about for grownups though? How does a grownup in 5 minutes or less kind of actually engage with scripture and develop a practice of knowing God this way?
Pick one of the dozen ways that we've talked about for the past hour. Yes. Mm-hmm. Start there. One. Yeah, just one. Pick one and then set yourself. The advice I would give here is set yourself some sort of benchmark between 30 and 90 days. Say, I'm going to try this kind of Bible reading for the next 2 months. Mm-hmm. Because that's a good span of time for you to actually give it a go. It's not overwhelming like a year-long thing. You're likely to get through it. So you have to say, you know, in the next month, I'm going to read the book of Matthew. It's 28 chapters. I got a couple grace days in there. I could read a chapter a day for a month, but something like that. And then after that month or 2 months, reassess and try something else.
Yeah, I like how you went ahead and actually named it because, hey, if you don't want to go look for a resource, just use what Chris just said. Like, I actually just try that. I would add to it the location of where you put the Bible matters. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you have the right translation that is you feel like it is good for you to read, that you enjoy reading it. And remove all the other resources, if they might be around, to just make it as easy as possible when you get to that place to not be thinking, should I read one of these other ones? Should I do two of them? I mean, if you're not engaged right now, getting it, like lowering the bar, making it easier than you think is a way to make sure that you're getting engaged. Because again, the graciousness of God, we believe that God is going to do something over the long term. Well, it's hard, it's complex, but did we make it easier than you think? Maybe. All right.
I think so.
All right. Hopefully so. Thank you all for joining us today on this episode of the Good Kind Podcast. We, again, subscribe, tell your friends, invite them in, because anything that you're doing is better when you do it with others. And we'd love for them to listen. We'd love for them to read with you, whatever that might look like. Hopefully you were encouraged today. But for now, thanks for joining us on the Good Kind Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Good Kind Podcast. We hope you leave feeling more equipped to engage with God and one another in your habits and holiday practices. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, like, and comment. We're excited to share more content with you soon. Don't forget, you can find us online at www.goodkind.shop. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on the Good Kind Podcast.